great, isn't it, that Aaron's not here to hear us read about the bread of heaven in light of yesterday's events. It was a bit of a mercy of the Lord to take him from us, wasn't it? Back to his family and his congregation of people who will all be smugly patting each other on the back this morning like they had something to do with it. Scandalous. Thank you very much for not mentioning the English game. Nobody has come to me and mentioned it, and I'm grateful. Incredibly grateful. I can't express how grateful I am. Matthew chapter 6, please turn back. We are actually only halfway through. It's Sunday morning, but we've still lots to get through. Let's pray together again one more time. Father, we pray in these moments that you would speak to the depths of our hearts, that each of us individually would hear what you would have us say, have us hear from you, what we need to learn. Many of us in different positions, in different contexts, with different struggles, different things that encourage us. Please meet with us now in these few moments, we pray. Would today be a day when you would meet with us profoundly through your word? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've looked already at the first three petitions, concerned, as I said yesterday, as they are with God's glory. Our Father in heaven, we come to with unrestricted access to a Father, but he is in heaven. He is the one who rules the cosmos. He is the one who has the universe at his disposal. He can do what he wants when he wants, and he is the one who is our Father. And we pray for his reputation and his rule. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's only once we've done that, that's our way in. It's only once we've come through, if you like, the front door of the prayer that we then can change our perspective slightly. And it's only a slight shift in focus, because at that point we turn to ask God for our own needs. And that's where we'll go for the rest of the prayer. God's pardon, God's provision, God's pardon from sins, and his protection from the evil one all follow our commitment to God's glory. And when we pray, if we will pray as God desires for these things, these are the requests that will be top of our list. We begin with God. We begin with his glory. But we pray for the things for ourselves through that and in that context. So we come then to the second section of the prayer, and as we make this transition that we might describe as the horizontal or the manward perspective aspect of the Lord's Prayer, we must be careful not to lose sight of all that we've already prayed. Of course, the Apostle Paul reminds us, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. So we're to view our lives through the lens of pursuing God and his glory. And our prayers for provision and pardon and protection are prayed with that end in mind, with a desire that we might serve him better, and that God would get the glory in our lives. So verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for God's provision. And as we consider it, Jesus teaches what we should ask for. As we think about that, the first thing we need to see, though, is a principle that underpins it all. There's a foundational principle. It should be obvious, but it's important to flag it up and recall it for us. And that is the key principle. It's there on the handout: dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus' very first word here highlights our need for God to provide. No matter what we're worth, no matter what our net worth might be, as Thomas Watson put it, we all live upon alms and upon free gifts. All we have is from the hand of God's royal bounty. We have nothing but what he gives us out of his storehouse. We cannot have one bit of bread but from God. That's not just us as his children, that's anybody. Every single breath that is taken today, every blink of the eye is a gift of God. You see, God doesn't tell us to pray, pay us today. It's not remunerate us for our efforts today, but give. So acknowledging our dependence is a basic matter of honesty before God. God is the provider of every detail of life. Think about it. Many of us will have had a piece of humble bread this morning. probably went through that cool little machine that toasts it, drops it down nice and warm, butter melts on it, everything else. But the old humble loaf, we take it for granted. Think about it. God brings the rain to water the crops to make them grow. He is the one who provides the strength and the skill to work the land and to bake the bread. He is the one who provides the intellect to get the job in order to be able to earn the money to buy it from the shop. Ultimately, he is the one who stocks the shelves in Sainsbury's and fills the cupboards in our homes. Dependence is also implied in the sense of the language. Give us is blunt. It is the attitude of a beggar in desperation. Give me some change. Or like the little child unable to use sophisticated language. Give me bread. Give me food. It's not in the rude sense, but in the sense of desperate dependence. It has the sense of those pictures that the charities use of the children in the third world. The big close-up of this face that is just desperate to receive. It recognizes this is a matter of life and death. And Jesus teaches us here that this is what we're like with God, and we are not to forget it. That's why we pray like this. But most of us have an abundance of bread, don't we? In our culture and in our context, we have so much luxury. And the culture that we live in actually is afloat with an entitlement attitude that many of us just take in as we breathe. How many of you have spoken to somebody, perhaps in an evangelistic conversation, and the conversation, the way it goes, the thing that is either implicit or explicit is, if there is a God who exists in this world, he owes me. He owes me something. I have rights before him. The idea of being dependent on God is a strange one in our day. Isn't it easy to lose sight of this amidst all of the comforts that we enjoy? Our barns are full. And so give us this day our daily bread is a prayer that passes us by. When did you last open your eyes in the morning and ask God to give you what you need for that day? Why would you? Your cupboards are full. There's a 24-hour shop 100 meters down the road. Well, for us, we especially need this reminder of our need to depend upon God. We need to pray, yes, that he would continue to provide, that he would continue his generous kindness to us. Take nothing for granted. This recent recession has exposed lots of people in the context that they've been in. Lots of people's lives have been absolutely turned on their head. And this recession isn't as bad as some that have gone by. You know, the pictures that there used to be from years gone by of people with wheelbarrows of paper money walking down the street, worthless. Because of the way the economy works, the whole thing can just dissolve in a moment, should God decide that that would be his desire. Can all go almost overnight. So we need to pray that God would continue his blessing. But we also, as we acknowledge his provision, give us this day our daily bread, it becomes a prayer that fosters humility and gratitude in us. I said yesterday, we love to talk about the self-made man in our culture. We champion the guy who's out on his own, who does it his way, the self-made man. There's no such thing. Apart from God, we have nothing. Nothing McNothing. That's nothing thousand, nothing hundred, and nothing. Nothing 50, nothing. Okay, there's no easy, like we can't say it enough times. Apart from God, he gives us everything. And to be reminded to ask him to give is a prayer that reminds us that we're not self-sufficient. We are dependent, dependent, dependent on him for everything. We're beggars asking for food. We're little children depending on our Father for everything. And when we remember that, for most of us for whom the provision of daily bread tomorrow isn't a worry, this petition leads us to humility. We only have it because he gave it. And gratitude. We don't deserve it and he gave it. And thanks to our Heavenly Father who has been so generous to us. At this point, we need to see that this principle also contains a condition. Did you notice? Give us this day our daily bread. It's not give us this month or this year. But Jesus chooses to teach us dependence on a daily basis. The culture at the time was based on daily wages for land workers. They lived a day at a time. That was the way things were. And of course, in the Old Testament passage that was read for us, Exodus 16, a moment ago, the episode that this petition echoes in so many ways. For Israel in the desert, they were only to collect enough manna for one for the coming day, except once a week when they brought enough in for the Sabbath as well. God wants his people to learn dependence one day at a time. And why is that the case? Well, I've put down two reasons there. First one is, I think it's because we're prone to wander. The natural heart's desire is to be self-sufficient, especially when we have money in the bank. Think about how much more at ease you are and how much more confident you are and probably how much less dependent on God you are, commensurate with how much money's in the bank. The sun's shining, it's easy to forget our need to depend on God. Find yourself in a tight spot and you're on your knees pleading with him. All those other things become unimportant, it seems, whenever there's a crisis. And that's where we're supposed to live our lives. But the having of plenty means that we're prone to forget our need to depend. We're prone to wander. So having to ask for daily bread forces us to reset ourselves in dependence on God every day. We see this later in the chapter. Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Don't set out to accrue enough stuff to live independently of me." We say, "But what do you mean, don't store up stuff? Well, what about food and clothes and my stuff?" And Jesus then says, what does he say next? "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Give us this day our daily bread." We want what the writer of the Proverbs asked for. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." Now, this attitude of dependence will constantly eat away at the perilous ledge of self-sufficiency that we want to build our lives on. And it will force us back to daily depend on our Father in heaven. As we pray this petition, maybe we'll need to reevaluate how our ambitions might be dragging us towards independence from God. How the things that we have might be leading us away from depending on him rather than the daily dependence that he demands. So he asks us to pray that way because of we're prone to wander. But second reason, I think, is there as well, because God wants to bless us. Our Father in heaven is a generous God who loves to bless his children. He loves to give good gifts to his children. He is never weary of giving. He delights in it. Thomas Watson again has said this, "The honeycomb of God's bounty is still dropping." And coming day by day teaches us that God's mercies are new every morning. We are forced to recognize then his daily generosity, and this in turn strengthens our faith in his goodness. Daily dependence is a key principle. That's what underpins all of this. God wants us to be dependent as his children. He knows that we're prone to wander, and he wants to bless us. But what exactly are we to depend on him for? Well, there are three things on the handout. First of all, our material needs. Material needs. Bread in the Bible sometimes represents just bread. Funny that. But it usually signifies food in a more generic sense, or even all of the material life. When Jesus says man does not live on bread alone, that's the sense that he's using. As I alluded earlier, any Jew hearing Jesus teach this would be immediately reminded of God's provision of manna in the desert. Exodus 16, when Israel escaped from slavery in Egypt and were sustained by God for 40 years through his miraculous provision of flakes of bread coming daily from the sky. Just as God provided for Israel's physical needs, so he delights to do the same for us. And daily bread speaks at the very most basic level of life's necessities, in the home, in the office, in the classroom, wherever it might be. God's material provision. If I am to eat, he must give. If I am to drink, to have shelter, to have clothes, to have a job, to get an education, to have a family, God must give them, and so I must ask him for them. This prayer then highlights the fact that God cares about our material needs. Some people that think it's unspiritual to pray for such things. I guess in our culture, not many people are like that, but there are some. Material things are worldly, they're unimportant to God. Why bother him with prayers about such mundane things as the day-to-day of life? But to be taught to pray for our daily bread is for Jesus to tell us that God is interested in our material needs. And of course, in a culture like ours, that last word must really be emphasized. Material needs. They're very different from greeds. We're to pray for our daily bread, not our daily dessert. It's entirely appropriate to pray for good health, enough money to make ends meet, a car if we need some transport, a job if the one we're in isn't suitable, a holiday if we're burning out and need a break. But don't think you're being godly. Please don't think you're being godly by praying about how you can make the sums work in order to afford the most up-to-date car, or whether or not we're praying about whether or not we should have 4 or 5 holidays this year. Give us this day our daily bread is a prayer that God's work in the cut and thrust of our material lives would come to pass. So don't be tempted, as I have to confess I often am, to read the Bible, to praise God for the things that you read there, to repent of sin, to pray for people on your list, to be praying for your group, as Henry suggested earlier, and then just say amen. That's it, job done. Give us this day our daily bread is a prayer for the warp and woof of the day-to-day as well. We pray this petition, we're confessing our need of God's sustaining grace in the physical, practical, material realm. But that's not where it stops. Some wonder why Jesus instructs us to pray for bread before he tells us to confess our sins. Did you ever notice that? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Why does he do it that way? The great Martin Lloyd-Jones has argued that physical existence must be maintained before spiritual concerns can be addressed. Perhaps. But why then the first 3 petitions focusing on God's glory? Why didn't we pray it right at the beginning? Instead, I think we should understand the phrase daily bread to go further than just material necessities, to encompass also spiritual needs. Secondly there, spiritual needs. God's provision in the wilderness for Israel, the provision of the manna, isn't just fulfilled in our Father's material provision, but it is also seen in his providing for our spiritual needs. This is why bread comes first on the list. Isn't this a metaphor that Jesus has used before? John chapter 6, he has just fed 5,000 people with a bread roll or two, and he says, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus, you see, understood his crucified body as the essential bread to sustain and nourish our spiritual life. He understood himself as the true bread of heaven, the true fulfillment of the manna in the desert. So give us this day our daily bread as an affirmation of our trust in Jesus' death as the food on which we feed by faith for all our spiritual needs. It is to recognize that we come to Christ by grace alone, and we go on by grace alone. And we're praying that God would give us a daily trust and confidence in the grace of Christ. It's easy to get knocked off course. It's easy, like the Galatians, to think that we need more than Christ alone, the bread of life. And we pray for ongoing trust daily in his death for our sins, because the grace of the gospel, if we're honest with ourselves, we do this, we pray this way daily because the grace of the gospel, if we're honest with ourselves, frankly, is hard to take in sometimes. Don't you think? Somewhere like St. Helens, we talk about the gospel a lot. You talk about the gospel a lot. It's right at the very heart of everything that you do. Do we ever stop to recognize or to consider just how incredible it all is? Tell me that it doesn't sound strange that God would leave the glory of heaven and come to the earth that he made, even though the people there were wrecking it like a load of wild teenagers when their parents go away. Tell me it isn't incredible that he would then take all of their rebellion against him upon himself in the person of his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, so that by faith and nothing else, nothing more, by faith in his death and resurrection, we could be saved from our sin and rescued for eternity. Tell me that that isn't amazing. It is amazing. And he has done this in order to feed you with the living bread from heaven, the bread of life. Apart from Jesus, we know we're dead in our sins, blind to his glory and lost in the darkness that we love. So it is vital that God feed us with this spiritual bread. And in Jesus Christ, he has. It's a wonderful thing. Only from Jesus do we get the power to believe, obey, grow, and persevere through trials. Only by abiding in Christ do we bear any fruit, John 15. And praying for daily bread is essential if we will avoid this precipice of spiritual self-sufficiency, which is even more deadly than its material equivalent. Praying for daily bread is to depend on God for all of our spiritual nourishment, all of our spiritual growth, and all of our progress in the faith. So we pray for material needs, we pray for spiritual needs, but we mustn't miss how this petition also insists that we pray for, thirdly, communal needs. Give us our. Jesus is reminding us again that this is a family prayer. It isn't give me this day my daily bread. Give us our Father. You remember, just as we depend on God for all that we have ourselves, we are asking him to provide for others, for our Christian brothers and sisters who also need his provision. And what I think is striking here is that this recollection of the wider Christian family reminds us that what God has given us is also for sharing. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. God has gifted those of us who have more than bare necessities, and that's probably all of us. He's gifted us in that way so that we can share with those in need. From our abundance, we can be God's means of providing the daily bread for those for whom God has made us responsible. Who has God made us responsible for? Well, firstly, the family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Like, what do you mean, Paul? Could you kind of just cut through the heat and give us the kind of main point? Our problem in this culture is that we often exalt our families, especially our children, rather than fail to provide for them. But the Lord's Prayer requires that we provide adequately for our wider family. Secondly, the church. The members of the church in Acts 4 sold their possessions and went without in order that everyone was cared for. We're told that they shared everything they had, and as such there was no needy persons among them. Now, it wasn't a commune, as some people try and dress it up today. But when we invoke the us of the Lord's Prayer, we're reminding ourselves that we're all involved. We share our lives together. We meet one another's needs. A redundancy comes up and there's a shortfall. A sickness comes up and there's some kind of need. There's some sort of unavoidable debt and a need needs to be met. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying, Father, please provide for our church. And show me who I can be your means of providing for today. The family, the church, and also the poor. The Bible expects us to be prudent about how we proceed on this. We need to be careful. Remember, give us, it is a family prayer, so it is primarily for the Christian poor that we pray, bringing our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who have nothing to God in prayer, finding ways that we can provide for them materially out of the abundance of bread that we have ourselves. But we also know in Proverbs 21 that we're told if a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Galatians 6 tells us to do good to all people. We are responsible at some level for the poor who come across our path. So we're responsible also for ensuring that they have daily bread from the Lord. He has provided it. It's maybe just that it's in our cupboards at the minute. And then, of course, just as we seek to pray for and provide for material bread, we do the same for spiritual bread. Of course we do. But Jesus' point is not to be missed on us. Our Father, give us our daily bread. We're in this together. So the Lord's Prayer begins by forcing us to be God-centered, and it continues by making us God-dependent. Jesus teaches us here to spurn our love of self-sufficiency and to reject our desire to be independent from God and from each other. This prayer brings us to Him and to each other. And as we pray for our material and our spiritual and our communal needs, we receive the blessings of our generous and our gracious Father in heaven. Let's pray. Write these things deep in our hearts, O God, we pray, that we might be changed, that we might be more obedient, that we might be more less inclined to trust ourselves and more dependent on you day by day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.